Yeah, so yeah, it's been fun.
You ready? We have a thumbs up from Lisa. Ready to go. Good afternoon. We're here for the 2017 fiscal year budget work session with Community Services. Carla, do you have anything you'd like to say in the beginning?
Well, thank you for having me here. I'll work through whatever your questions are, and if I can't answer them, I'll get back to you.
Very good. And then we'll start off with revenue, and for the ones here at the desk, that's page 50.
And I'd start, Carla, by saying what a wonderful job you're doing. It's a tough time, I know, in community services. I think it's going to be tough for a little while, still some uncertainty and moving dates in terms of when we're targeting some of this stuff. But I want you to know how much we appreciate not just you, but your staff as well. You guys are pros, and we're really appreciative of the way you do things. So my first question is miscellaneous. If we've already brought in $1,840 this year, clearly, we don't expect to bring in a lot more, but then we go back down to $300 next year. Why did we bring in $1,840 this year?
That was a surprise to us. We had paid for a burial. At the time of the application, there was no known resources at all. Later on down the road, it was discovered that the individual had a burial account, and so they then chose to refund us the dollars. First time I've ever seen that, really.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I called Carla and I said,
So that's, I guess, the reasoning for that.
Okay, nothing else on revenue. We'll go to expenditure. It's 52. This is where we say.
I like to chime in here, but this is really odd.
Yeah.
Hers is really, really odd because of the shifting of positions with the case management redo. Okay, so, Carl, for your information, what I have in the salary and salary-related line items is 27 pay periods, 2.5 plus a quarter an hour for employees, and when you look at from original budget to the new budget, the original budget we only put 94% of the salaries in anyway. Adjusted, going to adjust, you know, to 100% or to actual. So yours is really looks weird. I think I have the right people in the right places from what I can tell. So this should be approximately what you see, with the exception of, I think the board is talking about still doing 94% this year.
Okay.
Budget. So this would be 100% if we were to budget it 100%.
Okay.
And this includes the position that works for you and serves Veterans Affairs as well, right? So that's another part of this.
That's the filling of that position also. So.
So my first one is Communication Services. That one looks high to me simply because I believe where you are today is probably 50% of what you're going to end up for this year. But I think we've rolled VA's phone out from under you, so you shouldn't still be paying for that. That's something you were paying for part of the year.
VA, no.
I don't think so.
There wasn't a phone in that office?
They were paying for it.
I understand, but there was a phone in this office that Community Services was paying for before Brett walked in.
So
it should be, I'm saying it's less. Mm-hmm. And then when we look at what staffing levels are going to look like in your office once we get past July or past August or past whatever date the state ends up throwing at us, we're going to have fewer, which to me, in terms of communication line item for FY17, means we're going to be lower than we are today, right?
For the general assistance budget, I'm not sure about that because some of the lines that we'll be getting rid of are case management lines.
Okay.
What I'm anticipating coming out of the general assistance budget is the two service coordinators, 50% of their line, 50% of the administrative assistance lines. We've got three of those. And then the new GAVA position, all of that line, and then our conference room line
Okay.
is what I've got factored into that.
All right. And how is that different from where we've been the first 6 months of the year?
Right now, we would not have had the VAGA line.
So one additional line.
Yep. And the one of the administrative assistant lines, it's been there, but really hasn't been utilized. So I don't know if that will change at all as far as like outgoing calls or anything like that, if that expense will go up.
But that Jennifer has right
mm-hmm.
now.
Yeah.
So the line's been there, but we haven't been using it.
For that, you were probably charged for it.
Yes. Yeah, we would have been.
Speaking futuristic with the unknowns, and with the regions and all the involvements and the different meetings that you all have to have as it relates to that, is there any advantage long-term to thinking about having some video conferencing ability there in your conference room? And this could be something that the region maybe needs to be thinking about, because I would think the cost should be shifted over to them, because I could see them utilizing it more, without which could reduce, you know, face-to-face, you know, travel for all the meetings that are going on. And I don't know if and when it may ever be appropriate to even bring that conversation up to the region. But I want you to think about the logistics of that and whether you thought that might be something, because I certainly wouldn't have a problem bringing it up for future consideration.
Okay. And I think we do, through our Microsoft Office 365 program that we use, I think there is Skype ability with that. It's not something we've done yet, so, but at least to be able to talk with one another.
Yeah, that was one of the reasons they went with Office 365, so they could have that video conferencing capability. I mean, there's a cost associated with it, and they haven't implemented that yet, but that would be a good thing to maybe discuss at the governing board meeting to see if there's uses for that.
Right now, I think a lot of what happens is if they're having having a conference call, there's a line that Marshall County has. It's an 800 number. They pay for it, but it's a call-in and has a PIN number and everything, and that's what they've been using instead of driving to a location to have a meeting, but it's been through the use of that conference call, too. So that video conferencing is an option with Office 365.
So where does communication services need to end up?
Well, I mean, I guess the other thing I want to ask, too, is those phones that have been vacated by the case management staff mm-hmm. that have left, do they still have all their functions, or has like the voicemail been shut off?
I'm working on getting those discontinued altogether and pulled out of the office. I've identified the numbers. We want to move, because we've had some moving around a little bit with phones. I need to pinpoint a couple of things yet, and then we'll be ready to get everything discontinued.
But that's not in this line item.
No.
So where does this line item come
in? Well, when I look at what we've used so far through the month of December, it's $1,100. So if I multiply that by two.
$2,300?
Yeah, I come to $2,230.
Yeah, so $2,300, yeah. If we do that, you feel like we're in the ballpark?
Yeah, I think so for this year.
For this year?
Yep.
What about for FY17?
Then we're adding a line. We're adding that full-time line.
Right.
And so when I did the math originally, that's how I came up with that $3,420. That's $1,500.
Yeah, for one line, that doesn't make sense.
Right.
So if we just do it by how many lines do we have in the $2,300?
Got 1.5. Right now we've got 2.5, 3.5 lines right now.
In the 23.
Yep, I think so. So that's $632
per line.
Yep.
Yeah. So in my mind, it takes us to $3,000.
$2,280. Yeah, I think you're right. If we go with that figure, we should hopefully be there.
Okay.
Carl, who's covering the line that's in that additional office that VA is using? Is it
VA? Will be Brett's line. It'll be VA's line. Yep.
Education training, I think it's $200. I just think that's where it is. It's where you're going to end up this year, I think. Unless you got something special there. I know that the rest of those are just placeholders, so I'm fine with the hundreds all the way down, knowing that we're going to do what we're going to do. Rent payments, looks like you re-estimated that down to 65,000 this year, which based on where we are here, I think that's more than enough. I'm just curious, why would we take it then back up to 75 instead of leaving it at 65 for next year?
Just the
Yeah, I know it's unknown, but I look at it in FY15, you spent 63, 68 the year before that, and then 65 the year before. It just looks like the trend
down.
Is flat
yeah.
at 65.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I just didn't have that budget at 65.
Okay,
yeah.
That's fine.
Yeah.
No, what the board has been telling departments, you know, if their need comes up, and if
absolutely.
And you're beyond the 65,000 to come back and discuss that.
Yep.
Funeral services, it looks like we're recommending a 2% increase on what we're paying for the funerals. It looks to me like you're budgeting the same number, about one a month?
About what we're averaging. So I gave a little, up to 15 potentially. Sometimes we see more than one.
Okay. Management services, it looks to me like we're heavy on at 1,200.
Mm-hmm. And that's it seems like we're spending less in bus tickets over time. I think we dropped it a little bit last year, even from where we were at. So I'd be fine coming down on that, too, if we want to say the 1,000.
Yeah, can we just take it to 1,000? Maybe I'm tying things together here or adding 2 and 2 and getting 17, but it looks to me like the treatment services, about the time that the Affordable Care Act kicked in, we stopped having to pay much.
Right.
So it looks to me like, and granted, we're going to do what we have to do, but I think the 5,000 and the 10,000 are really, really heavy based on that we have not used them really for 3 years.
Yeah.
So a placeholder in there, knowing that we're going to do what we have to do.
Sure.
I mean, if we're using zero, let's throw $1,000 in there, and we know that if we got to use it, we got to use it, right?
Go back, 26, 28, yeah.
Well, we're using it.
I'm sorry. Wrong. Yeah.
But am I right or wrong that this is a result of expanded health care?
It is. We really saw a reduction when that came into place. Yeah.
I'm going to say let's budget 1,000 in both of those line items.
Reestimate.
At least I don't know what you want to reestimate at. If you want to put it in there as 1,000 in case we have something the rest of the year, or you want to. I mean, it looks to me like we're not going to pay anything.
Carla, if there was a hospitalization that came through, somebody wasn't on Medicaid for whatever reason, what would that?
I believe
probably
about 1,000 for that day, for one day is probably.
One day. Mm-hmm.
When you look at the hospital fee and the doctor fee, it's probably right in that area.
Yeah, if something happens and we need to sit down and amend, mm-hmm. let us know. I just think that's where the trend is telling us we are.
And I'll be, I've been working with Deb and Ethan on a substance abuse policy, and I'm looking to bring that to you guys yet this month. Because when we went into regionalization, that no longer really covers detox services, that management plan. So we've been working on writing up a policy so that we have something in place, but we really haven't seen, I don't think, the need yet even here for that. So, I don't know that.
Okay.
Because a lot of it is covered by Medicaid.
Okay. Well, then as placeholders, you're okay with just staying that in?
We got to do it.
And then court-appointed counsel, clearly you're re-estimating down to 3,500 this year. Can we just carry the 3,500
sure.
straight across and go down to 4,000?
And we left the other one behind as is, the 10?
No, 1,000.
1,000.
Take that down to 1,000.
And what about what? You can actually go to the hospital too, for now, 1,000 too?
Yep.
Okay.
All right,
I'm sorry.
Sorry.
Okay, that'll take us to no health.
So much uncertainty with the case management we just kind of plugged in kind of where we are now based on the number of people that are still with us.
For salary, I talked with Lisa, and for FY17, we budgeted 1 month of salary in anticipation of that program ending on June 30th. And then I factored 2 months worth of other expenses because a lot of times you have those things coming in, a month or two down the road. So that's how I did that. And how case management works as far as us receiving the revenue is we bill monthly back to the Central Iowa Case Management Region what our costs were, and then they reimburse us. So ideally those should balance out as far as what our costs and our revenues are.
So hypothetically, if any of those employees were retained within the county but reassigned in a different area other than case management, the case management portion would show nothing, but then they would be shifted to where their line of area would be appropriate, just as a high.
Right now, she's looking at revenues and the reasoning for it. On page 56, the revenue.
But Wayne, I think you make a great point. These two, the revenues and the expenses need to be, if not directly tied together, they are tied together, right? And so what all of us need to look at is, we're figuring that our revenues are going to be down $1 million next year when it comes to this. All right. So now let's go to expenses and talk about some of this shifting. We're not going to go down quite $1 million, but we need to try to understand that those two are tied together on some level.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Like with case management, that's how we figured that budget. I don't know if there are questions or if you have other direction for us on what you'd like to see there.
The case management portion starts on page 60, second line in.
Yeah, if it's okay, let's just work our way down mm-hmm. to it. Kind of deal with this one step at a time.
So you want to talk about the mental health portion first?
Let's talk about mental health and then we'll get to case management.
Okay. So a couple comments I want to make on the mental health portion overview type stuff is that I did receive the levy recommendations from the regional fiscal agent or regional finance committee. There's a meeting tomorrow, a call-in meeting tomorrow at 1:30, and I already told them I probably wouldn't be there since my special work sessions wouldn't be calling in. I do have some questions that I'm going to ask them. Deb and I worked through it a little bit this morning. But what you guys need to know is right now the two levy options that they have out there, both lower our levy, one by 23 cents, one by 17 cents. So we would not be levying the $3,066,000. We would be levying either 51 cents or 56 cents, $2.1 million or $2.3 million.
Somebody needs to tell me how that makes any sense at all when the initial look at the budget that Governor Branstad just presented has no equalization at all for the regions in it. Why are we not, if we're allowed by law to collect $3,066,000, why would we not be collecting that?
Probably because when I look at the projected ending fund balances,
right,
of the region.
No, I understand that the ending fund balances are astronomically high today. But you go through 2 years, and you might be able to argue that you can make it three, but you go through 2 years of no equalization payments at all to the region.
Did we get any this year?
No.
There was none this year.
But Rick, this is the exact same question that ISAC is asking as we're talking here. And unless we can get some kind of assurance through the legislature that they're not going to come back upon the regions because of the large balances, and it varies across state. There are some that are doing very well, and there are some that are not. And so the whole idea of everybody equal is panning out. But however,
when they're talking about 4+ and adding those other kind of things, a lot of them are reluctant to move too aggressive without knowing that there's going to be dollars to sustain the programs.
Sure.
And so what we're trying to do is get them to remove the cap, which will allow more flexibility in where they need to. But I don't know if that's going to basically happen. But I do think that the part of the discussion, and I don't know if it's Chris Grace and Carl and the reasons I haven't heard it just yet, but I think they don't want to get too far down the road with this increased imbalance. And I think by lowering that levy rate down there, I hope that it's going to keep it within reason somewhere, I suppose.
Well, depends on what you call within region, within reason. I mean, you're talking about the difference for our region between us levying this year, you know, $3,066,000 or $2,900,000 or whatever it is they're suggesting, that is minuscule. When you're talking about any fund balance in the, what, 130% range?
So the estimated 16 ending fund balance is 136%.
Yeah.
The estimated 17 with the proposed budget is either 57.5% or 61.5%.
Yeah, and 61.5%, they're going to look at that and they're going to say, that's too high, so we're not giving you anything again. And now it's going to go from 61.5% to 17.5%, and you're not going to have enough to cash flow things. And then if you don't get equalization that year, you're completely upside down. And you guys have been with me enough to know, so I try to look out and I try to see where the rainy day is, right? So ending fund balances do two things for us. One, they cash flow the first 3 months of the year. That's vital. The second thing they do for us, and we don't like to talk about this as much, but they provide cushion and consistency for those rainy days. I don't like levy rates that bounce up and down. I like levy rates that are more consistent. You end up with some growth based on valuation, right? But the levy rates stay pretty consistent. And what it looks to me like we're doing right now is we're saying, okay, we're going to take, what do you say, 17 cents less?
Or 23 cents.
17 or 23, and then we're going to come back in 2 years and, oh my God, we're out of money. No, no, $3,066,000 is not enough anymore. We need you to end the cap, and all of a sudden, Story County, you need to go levy $4.5 million. That's what I'm afraid of.
The problem is that you're right on, but that message is not being articulated in the areas where it needs to be so that they really see it in that same light. And I don't know how aggressive DHS and Palmer and that group is, but I do know that Jamie and Lucas and so forth would be amenable to helping you share some of those views so that we can build our case when we go before the legislature this next year.
Well, the other thing, Devin, I just got done talking about, I think time has passed. The time has passed for us to have a dollar limit. We should just be able to levy dollars like we do the rest of the funds.
But see, I don't believe we've got all of our legislators on board with that yet.
Really?
I mean, it's been mentioned, but I've not got a firm commitment. And I think we've got to start in those committees. Because first of all, we know the government's budget is going to be one thing. But will the legislature then take a look at this whole area of mental health funding and realize that without the equalization dollars, that we are going to be in a crisis stage, because we've been telling them for the last 2 years, it's after FY17-18 beyond is where the real crisis is going to
hit. You either got to have equalization or you got to allow every region to levy more, or you've got to cut services. That's the only three options, right? And what never has made any sense at all to me, and maybe we're moving toward this, I don't know, but this idea that the levy, that there's 10 of us in this region, and the levy is different in every single county, and we're supposed to be providing the exact same services in every single county, that doesn't make any sense at all. I mean, I think fundamentally, everybody should be paying the same levy rate. Now, I understand that valuations are going to be different location to location, because That's what's important in real estate. But it doesn't make any sense at all to me that in one place you have an astronomical levy and in another you have a really, really low levy. It ought to be equal.
And this is part of the discussion that I don't know if they had it long enough about one county, one vote. I mean, we get one vote out of the 10-county region, and we supply 30% or more of the funds. And the decision on what the levy rate is, we've got A or B. We didn't have input on what A or B should be.
Sorry, Carl, we're taking all your time.
That's okay.
So we are 50% of the dollars.
We're 50, okay.
No, we're not. I'm sorry, that's wrong. The one thing I was going to mention is their levy recommendation is equal for all the counties as far as per capita.
Per capita. Yes. Per capita doesn't work for Stewart County. So it actually benefits us in some ways.
The maximum levy for the region is $11,575,000. Okay, that's the maximum levy based on actually maximum levy.
Right.
So our $3,000,066. They're looking to levy $7.3 million, of which we're $2.1 million. 30%. That's their. Because that per capita never affected us anyway.
Yeah.
The $47.28 was not something that we ever needed to deal with anyway.
Equalization, that filled that
right.
First year.
Right. So their levy recommendation for option one is $22.60 per capita for every count, for all of us.
And the reality is we'll sit here in 3 years and have to talk about
raising the levy
to $47.28, $4.4 million, which is
going to increase it.
Oh my God!
Right, double it.
Double it. Mm-hmm. Everybody's on board when you get to lower that levy, but
a lot of our counties, the whole per capita method for funding it. Okay, that makes some sense because who lives in those counties? The homeowners, who lives in Story County? We got 36,000 students.
Right. And you got DOT and government entities.
Well, absolutely, but yeah. who's kicking dollars in, right?
That's true.
Yeah, because they got our population, census population, at 94,073.
Yeah, I think we've actually gone up.
I thought we were 98.
I think we're 98 or almost 8 now. So.
Yeah.
It's a good management, maybe.
Carl, when is this going to be discussed at the which governing board meeting? Is it the January or February meeting?
I believe they're hoping to discuss it yet this month.
Where could you on the agenda?
I believe so.
You don't.
Yes, I do.
Because the finance committee is talking tomorrow, is that correct? I think that was the hope, is to bring it in.
I really think it will happen. I think Lee from Jefferson County, where's Lee from? Lee gets it because of this impact there.
But our region's hands are high.
But then,
speaking of our region, has got to figure out how to fund, how to pay for the services. This is a state level issue for us. And my whole fear with reducing, and I'm speaking strictly for Story County right now, my whole fear with reducing our allowable levy this year is they're going to come back and they're going to want it sixfold over in 4 years, and the three of us, well, two of us, are going to be the ones responsible for that.
See, but part of the ongoing education is within our region, we've got a setup where we bring the legislators from those 10 entities together and have an afternoon or forum or session where we're talking about, this issue so that they fully understand and can advocate on behalf of how the system is going to move forward. And I think right now that we're just, there's no consistency in the message that is being received. And I'm just wondering if that maybe be what we need, have. Because we had talked about even through conservation and through the region, is just having our representative come, and it's been very difficult to get them all together. And when you get them together, it's ideal to have a certain agenda that you want to talk about, and this is what your focus basically is going to be. But I think we need to do this region-wide.
Well, and the reality of this, too, is this is coming full circle and mirrors what happened in 2001
right.
when the counties had ending fund balances that they were expected to live on, and the legislature cut mental health funding to the counties by $18 million, and we just hobbled along that between 2001 and 2012 when redesigns. I mean, the whole focus is really on the Medicaid system as far as the state's concerned. And modernizing that, containing those costs, and then setting up some kind of legislative oversight to make sure that system gets off the ground. And, you know, I think it remains to be seen how the region is going to be able to move forward and what their true role will be in this system. That doesn't help the funding today or even 2 years from now, but, I mean, the governor is sending a message, essentially, by not putting any dollars towards the region. And most regions do have healthy fund balances, but I can totally understand why they're reluctant to start any new services any more than they already have, because they're going to be expected then to fund those, and it's going to be difficult over time.
What is our levy rate? What was our projected levy rate for FY17 to raise the
$3,066,000?
74 cents. So to get to $4.5 billion, I mean, you're talking about an increase in your levy rate of what, 40 to 50 cents. That's going to be difficult to swallow. It's coming. We just need to be aware of it. That's where this thing is headed. And I apologize for getting on my soapbox, but that's where it's headed.
If I have my calculations right, in this cycle, this thing should all cycle back to being the county's responsibility in what year?
2020, yeah. Set your watch to it.
So where are we? Just here.
I think we're on 250.
Yeah, that's where we last were. We just talked about
it. And Carla did a good job of trying to split things out. There's a lot of new, different places things are being paid for from, so it's very difficult to follow, and I'm sorry about that. I keep thinking every year, oh, this will get clearer, but so far that hasn't happened.
No, this is... So
but this is for the local direct services.
Right. This was really, really difficult for me to be able to follow exactly what we're doing, where it's coming from, where it's going to. So, you know, when in doubt on that, I go to the bottom line. And the reality is, I told you up above, we're right at $1 million less in revenues. And this proposed expenditure budget has us $910,000 less in expenses. I don't know any better way to do it than that. This is so different. It looks like a foreign language to me. Trying to get this stuff to equate to what we've done in the past. Is it worth going through and having you try to clarify for us? Or
I'd be happy to.
Sure.
Yeah. One thing that's going to be new coming into FY17 is our service coordinator salaries. Those are going to actually be tied to the categories of mental illness, developmental disability, and intellectual disability. In the past, those costs have come out of our direct administrative budget. We're trying to pull those expenses out because they are more of a direct service type expense. So that is one change there that you will see. The mental health advocate salaries, we did not budget anything there because the advocate that we use is employed through Hardin County. So we don't have any expenses in that line.
Why are we not going to be expected to kick in something because they are serving Story County?
Right, and it's all Hardin County pays for it. It's all regional dollars.
It's regional, okay.
Yep. So there's no direct expense coming out from us. The taxable fringe benefits, I think that's been a pretty standard one. One area there on the direct admin fuels, with case management potentially going away, we have to absorb those costs because we still have those vehicles. I have been looking at the possibility of the management of those vehicles just being done through our office. Right now we contract with the City of Ames, and we pay them an administrative fee of about $90 per vehicle. And I am wondering if some of that work is something that we could just do within our office. So if we go that route, I estimate a savings about $3,800.
And that's $7,000 is what you budgeted.
Right now, with that administrative fee in there.
I mean, we kind of went through this a few years ago with CLP, and we had a few of our vehicles, and the way the city budgets, this information and decision would need to be made clearly before they go through and finalize their budget, because they receive a pretty healthy benefit, but supposedly the oil change and all the other types of maintenance and other kinds of things and I know that that's something that, you know, I've always questioned whether we really truly getting our bang for our buck. But I always thought it was more advantageous for them than what was asked to get it. But again, you got to have somebody dedicated to follow through with that, make sure that the vehicles are maintenance schedules are done on time.
And we, one of our administrative assistants right now follows the cars very closely and tracks all of that information. I do believe it's something that we could stay on top of. She really is already doing it. You know, the other thing that I did look at City of Ames is our contract with them, and we do need to give them 90 days notice if we're going to withdraw from that. Otherwise, the contract
is
changed.
And the reality is we got less cars now than we had when we combined that with CLP cars.
Right, right. We have four vehicles right now that we're using.
That's the one that we kept for two more court services.
Correct. Yeah, there's a van, three, and a pallet, and
Yes,
over here. And Carl and I had talked about that minivan. It still doesn't seem for any use. I think Juneau Courts used it maybe once.
For 1 mile.
This fiscal year. And so we're wondering, and I have an email into Shirley Faircloth about maybe possibly moving that vehicle over here. Maybe it would get some use over in this building, and then But I wanted to hear from Shirley if that would cause any issue with them being able to access it.
So much is our main and actually getting used. I mean, I don't think ours is prevented most of it.
More than it used to.
Yeah.
More than it used to, but it sounds to me like maybe we're one vehicle heavy.
Well, see, the only problem is, you know, I could use it. But usually I go to Des Moines, some nights I'm staying overnight, and I don't want to tie it up overnight.
No, that's not a problem. Anytime you want to use it, you use it. We got vehicles for you to use that security, like that truck of yours.
No.
So you think three, if we move the van over here, you think three is the right number for you guys?
I'd like to try with three, because VA, Veterans Affairs, does use it. It does allow for flexibility if anybody else wants to come over and still use one, and if there's somebody else that's out needing one.
And JCS needs one occasionally. Mm-hmm. With your three, you could work it into that.
Mm-hmm. The other thing I'm thinking of is I think VA has something coming up maybe next week at the Capitol of Veterans, that the two minivans would be perfect to be able to transport veterans.
Or the 115.
I mean, so, you know, we need to make sure to mention that to Brett. That minivan from juvenile court, is it a 2000? Is that?
That sounds maybe about right.
But I don't know if there's been any.
Yeah. I would just assume if we're not using that, I would just assume send it to the DMT office, because, you know, that one that we had, that blue one, was about a 2000. And it had 30 or 40,000 miles on it, and nickel and dime just to death. We've got a minivan, an Impala, and the Civic here that your guys are welcome to, that JCS are welcome to if they need it. I mean, you know, that's what it's there for. I'm with Paul. I would say let's pull the van and get the DOT auction, and then it's not costing anything. And let's get rid of, let's pull the everything else out of the city of Ames fleet services.
Unless there's any vehicles that we're going to trade for, we trade it off on something that you have regular
DOT. You're
probably going to get more DOT. And I really think three vehicles is managing. You said your administrative assistant is kind of on top of that.
Yeah, she
was managing the city of Ames.
And is it part of our contract with them that they sell the cars for us?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
let's give them plenty of notice. This is more than 90 days, but let them know that as of July 1st, we're going to be out. We want them to go ahead and sell the minivan as soon as they can.
And if Denver or Carl would have a conversation with us, Shirley,
yeah.
And make sure they're okay with that.
I'll be glad to talk, sure.
I mean, I'm just afraid if we start using that thing more like on a regular basis, it's going to start costing too much.
Well, that may be too expensive for somebody to say.
All JCS wanted was to know that they had the ability to utilize the vehicle when they needed it. I think they still have that.
But depending upon the condition of the vehicle, which would need to be checked out. But what about, you know, Dan, we're talking to her about this mobile trip, you know, they've hired a person to do that. What if they had a vehicle available to help offset the rural area? Because right now, the one that we're talking about is mainly going to be for the Ames. And if it's cost effective for her to be able to take that, it's not going to be that expensive.
For her to use that juvenile court, yeah, it would have to meet those transportation standards.
Yeah, but what I'm saying, this is not for people with disabilities, wheelchair. This is just they're picking up and, you know, the overload to like a normal person that would ride the bus. I don't know.
Yeah, my concern there is that we're still responsible for the maintenance of that van, mm-hmm. and I don't trust a van that's been around for 15 years and never driven.
Yeah. Well, I will check it out next week.
So I'm understanding we should proceed with asking the City of Ames to sell it.
In
the
sell that van, and then let them know that we want to pull out. Yeah,
at the end of this fiscal year.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, I'm sure it's okay. And I'm sure they will be. I mean, at some point, I remember her talking about they liked it because they had to transport a family for some meeting.
And I know once, maybe twice a year, they have some kind of a community activity where they're taking several of the juvenile court clients, but even that.
If they want to plan ahead far enough, they can.
We've got an alternative.
We've got
two
of them that are.
Okay. Thank you. The direct admin postage and mailing, I did put that at the 2,000. I think, I don't know, that could be a little high from what we've been using.
I don't know how we're going to have a good guess.
That's my problem.
This time next year, we'll have a little bit better handle on that.
Right. The telecommunications, I'm figuring 6.5 lines there is how I based that figure. It includes the phones and our fax line. The education and training expense, that is now something that's paid directly from the region, so we don't have any direct admin dollars there any longer. The office equipment repair and maintenance. Last year we had in our FY16 budget we had that $11,500 because we wanted to look at potentially replacing our copier in our front office area. That's something we haven't looked at yet. I've talked with staff about that, and it's something that we may look into yet this fiscal year to see if there's maybe a better product out there that we can use because it is getting quite a bit of heavy use by our front office staff. So I left those dollars in there for this current year. Workman's comp, right now that is primarily funded through our case management program, that will need to transfer over to the mental health side of things.
I think, but I don't know how that's going to be calculated, because the case management is why the cost was what it was.
Yeah. So that is going to change a little bit, because it's under all those different codes. When it's just an office, it's got a different rate. So
do you think I budgeted $4,000. Is that high?
Their rate, the case manager rate would be higher than your
Yeah, the numbers
are down too.
But until we get that renewal, I don't think it'll be anywhere near $4,000.
Okay.
No. But until we get the renewal and do the redistribution, I don't know either what it's going to be.
You can probably lower it.
$2,500.
All of this is a complete swag. I'm tired of the swags. We've been doing swags for a couple of years.
I don't like swags.
I'm sorry.
But in this arena, we always have. It's just so nothing. So you know, we're $2,500 then under the
work. I'm totally going to leave it there. I mean, I think this to me is a lot like the vehicle fuels and maintenance. I know for a fact I'm not going to spend $7,000 next year on that unless there's some major.
Well, we took it to $3,200.
Because we backed out.
Yeah, vehicle fuels and maintenance we reduced to $3,200. Yep. Carla, help me if I'm missing that.
Nope, because I figured we'd spend about $3,800 just on that administrative fee. So if we back that out,
yep, that's how I got 32.
Now, do you have any additional costs though? Or are you still paid for the services even though you had that other contract? Is that how that works?
Yeah.
When you took it in for a bill change, there was still a cost.
So correct. We still paid for car washes. I've talked with facilities and gotten ideas on where they have current contracts within that, so I think we would look to use those similar services. The one area we may need to look at is for a mechanic.
But you guys, I just had a chat with Cal.
But so we've already been paying those expenses. Okay. We paid labor and everything.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Back down to purchase administration. That is for like the accounting, auditing, and clerical. That's for our asset administrative assistance salary expenses. And then also the educational and training services is for the office expenses. Does that come along with that? The county disbursement to MHDS regional fiscal agent, that is a guess, certainly, sure, at this point. We just put a number in there, really. The case management salaries, we've talked about that. Again, budgeted for 1 month of salary with anticipation of the program closing June 30th.
And again, that's tied on the revenue side.
Correct.
So that's going to change. I mean, the timing is going to change, but it's two components tied together.
Right.
Do we need to increase both of those times?
No. We're going to increase both those sides, but I don't know what it looks like yet, and I don't want to be like the cat chasing a laser pointer on the floor. Let's just leave it where it is.
My dog's like better than my cat.
Right. Yeah. Let's leave it where it is so we've got a better idea of what's happening. I know it's going to change, but let's just leave it there until we know better.
Okay.
We can skip down to office supplies as far as I'm concerned. I see vehicle fuels and maintenance.
That's 1 month
with
the case management.
Right. Okay.
Or two months.
That's all I have. It's an interesting time, Carla.
Yes, it is.
You did a nice job.
Well, thank you.
Shooting while you're blindfolded. You're going to be in the target.
I think, Carla, you've done an unbelievably good job with the information you have in front of you. And just don't be shy about getting back over here when we start to have more information. The best thing you can do for us is keep us as informed as you possibly can as this stuff moves.
Thank you.
You bet.
Carl, I know you're thinking of this, but then you're leading there are things being sisters or whatever, you know, I know we know what needs to be.
Thank you.
Yeah, I wasn't going to go down that road, but now that went though, I am in awe of you. You're so big time.
I'm happy that I can do it. Very grateful. So, and I have to give a lot of credit to Deb. She has certainly helped me through this transition and everything. We talk on a very regular basis, so I certainly couldn't be where I am today without her leadership.
You've been the perfect replacement.
Thank you.
Keep steering the ship.
I will try, certainly. So. Thank you, everybody.
Left the tears, I think we're all
I was going down there and rode dead burning.